ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. A great discussion on what Brahman is and how to realize Brahman, how to know that I am Brahman. That discussion was going on in a great Gurukula, a school, under the guidance of a great Rishi, and the discussion was, what is this world? What does it consist of? This is the topic of the sixth Brahmanam, sixth section of the first chapter. So everything is located only in the mind. Life is mind. Happiness is mind. Unhappiness is mind, bondage is mind, liberation is mind, good is mind, evil is also mind. So, the Upanishad wants to tell us, to summarize in fact, all that we discussed in this first chapter, what is life, who am I, and what is the goal of my life, and how to know, realize who I am, and remain happy forever. So, learn, grow, become free by knowing who we are. This is the essence of not only the sixth section, but every section. We have seen that the entire first chapter is called Madhukanda. Everything is related, connected, inseparable with everything else. Everything is the creation of Brahman. Rather, Brahman or God is manifesting as this entire universe. And we, for that purpose, Upanishad has described what we had studied so far in this five sections of the Brihadaranyaka, first chapter of the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, how creation started, God or Brahman manifested as the presiding deities are five elements, first as subtle, next as gross. Then these five elements had become everything that we know of, the living, the non-living. Then we have seen in the last section, fifth section, because creation is the first part, sustenance, maintenance is the second part, and food is necessary. So God has created food for all the three beings. That is the presiding deities called Adhidaivika, then this external world which we experience, then we the individuals, Adhyatmika. So Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidaivika are inseparable triangle. And so in this the same analogy of triangle is being taken and the essence is being squeezed in this sixth section. Why? Because we are in the world. We are the world. We are not separate from the world. We are part of the world. And yet each one of us, we identify only with this body-mind complex and experience the entire universe. So also, every living creature experiences everything. So this experiencer experienced process is going on throughout. So we identify ourselves with this body mind, and this body mind is called Pindanda. The entire universe Arishwara is called Brahmanda. And this whole Brahmanda, what is it? So this Upanishad in this last sixth section wants to simplify, summarize, squeeze the essence what is the whole creation consisting of? Three things and three in one, one in three. When we say three things, it is not that they are three separate things. When we say triangle, every angle is connected and inseparable from every angle. Every angle is connected with the other angle, two angles. So what are those three angles and what is its name? It is called Uktha. And this particular sixth section of the first chapter is also well known as Uktha Brahmanam. So this word, what is this word? So is it many of our readers or hearers, listeners get confused? Is it Uktha, K-T-A, U-K-T-A or Uktha, U-K-T-H-A, Uktha, 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 Uktha. The correct name is Uktha, not Uktha. And this name carries a profound philosophical meaning and purpose. So, the correct word is Uktha. Uktha means that which has been spoken, said, for example, Narada Uktha. What is said by Narada? Sri Ramakrishna Uktha. Sri Ramakrishna Uktha. Not Uktha. Uktha. Spoken by Ramakrishna. Vivekananda Uktha. What Swami Vivekananda said, spoken, taught. So this word Uktha, without the hard consonant, means it is rooted in watch, to speak. But as I said, it is this Brahmanam is not Ukta Brahmanam, Ukta Brahmanam. And what does it mean? It is a completely different, many-layered spiritual meaning. So, in ritualistic terms, this word Ukta refers to a Vedic hymn or a praise of gods or goddesses or a recitation, especially from the Rig Veda. But in Vedanta, it has a deeper metaphysical definition. So, Uktha means what? Uttishtati anaina iti uktham. That from which everything originates, springs forth, and in which it abides, and unto which it returns. So, we can exchange this word Uktha, it is a Brahman. So, the whole universe, it comes from the cause called Brahman, and it abides in Brahman, and it merges back into Brahman. This universe is never separate from Brahman. For that, every teacher has to repeat the words again and again. Take the example, a billion pots have been made from clay. What is a pot? It is nothing but clay plus nama, or let me put it this way, clay plus rupa plus nama plus prayojana, also called herein, in the sixth section, karma. Nama, rupa, karma, but we have to rearrange it. Rupa plus karma, nama plus karma. In the case of the pot, let us understand it. So clay is useless. You can't drink from it. You can't store things. You can't cook food. So it has to be made into a particular shape called form. So supposing I make it in the form of a glass. What is the purpose? I have to drink water. That is the purpose. So, I have to give a name. Every form must have a separate name to distinguish it, to make our day-to-day life easier. Several times I gave the examples. You can easily understand if there are two glasses made out of clay and one is painted as black, another is painted as white. So, if I have to ask somebody, will you please bring that glass? That will not serve the purpose. It is redundant I have to say, please bring that white glass, or bring the small glass, or bring the glass which is on the lower shelf, not on the higher shelf. So, first, there is a formation. That is called form. And since there are not one form, because if there is only one pot, there is no need for adjectives. Small, big, left side, right side, black color, white color, yellow color, no. But since objects are almost infinite, human beings are infinite, animals are infinite, every species is infinite, almost infinite. So we have to give special name. This is a cow. This is a speckled cow. This is a America cow. This is a Jersey cow, etc., etc. First comes the form, and that form is given a name. If there are three brothers or four brothers in the same family, or even if there are twins or triplets, then all of them to separate each from the other. The mother has to give separate names, and she has to put three separate signs on each of the child, so that one child will not have double or triple drinking of milk. So, the whole universe, that is to say, Brahman, assumes forms, and every form to specify, to separate, to use it properly for communication, has to be given a particular name. And every object, that is called an object, every pot is an object, every book is an object, every person is an object, every animal is an object, even the non-living is also an object. Every object has some purpose for this object. So, that is, it fulfills karma. In the example of the pot, what is the rupa? So, clay in the form of a small glass. That is the form. So, you have to give a name. This is a baby glass. Small glass. Whether it is milk or water, that serves the purpose of the baby. But for an adult, it should be a bigger glass. So on, so forth. Then where comes the karma? Karma means prayojana, utility. So, a potter makes a pot for drinking water. Same potter makes out of the same clay a plate for eating food. Another pot for cooking, another pot for storing, etc., etc., another thing out of clay called brick for making walls, houses, etc. So, a house, what is its karma? To shelter people, protect people from cold, heat, rain, etc. So that also protect them from enemies, thieves, also to house guests, friends, etc. That is the karma. Karma means prayojana. So, name, form, and prayojana. So, what is the whole world? Take any object. First point we have to understand, these three are inseparable. If there is a form, there must be a name to distinguish it from every other form. Every name has a specific. Every object has a specific name so that our knowledge will not be wasted, time will not be wasted. So we should hone in, home on that particular object, convey it to others also. That is how knowledge is conveyed. So every object has a purpose and they are inseparable. The whole world consists of name, form and action. Karma means action or prayojana. Utility. They cannot be separated. If you separate, if you destroy one, everything will be destroyed. For example, you destroy a cooking pot, then the name also is destroyed. Not only the cooking pot is destroyed, that utility called cooking also is destroyed. Karma is destroyed. Also its name is destroyed. So if we want to destroy the world, then we have to destroy Rupa, Nama and Karma. How are we going to destroy it? Destruction means nothing that is existing can never be destroyed. Sat can never be destroyed. That is why it is called Satyam. Why? That is why it is called Trikala Abadhitam. It never changes. As I said, a pot is nothing but clay, but in a particular form, with a particular name, with a particular purpose. But it is nothing but clay. So, a pot weighing 1 kg is nothing but 1 kg clay. Not even 1 billionth of something extra that weighs can be added to that. An ornament made out of gold is nothing but pure gold. But we call it, this is nose ring, that is earring, this is a necklace, this is a bangle, this is a waist ring, etc., etc. So the Upanishad wants to tell us that the whole world that we are living in, of which we are the part, it consists of only nama, rupa and karma. As I said, it would have been better if we rearrange it. Rupa, nama and karma. So, these are the three words that this particular section called Uktha Brahmana. Uktha, don't forget the etymological meaning. So, what is the meaning of that? But from which everything arises. That means, which is the material cause, intelligent cause, which is the cause. Everything that came out is an effect. Every effect must have a cause. And that cause from which this whole universe has come, it is called Brahman. So here, the whole world is nothing but nama, rupa and karma. So the meaning of the word Ukta means the original cause. And the original cause is Brahman. So Brahman became the form. Brahman became the name. Brahman became the function, karma. If we can understand it, what is the benefit we get? We learn to look upon. I see a tree. It is nothing but Brahman with form, with name, with karma, prayojana. So, whatever I look at means what? Not merely looking through the eyes. Whatever I smell, whatever I hear, whatever I taste, whatever I touch, everything is nothing but Brahman. This is called Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. So, speech, this marvelous psychological explanation it wants to say, what is this nama? We understand. This is a person, he is the son of Dasharatha, his name is Rama, and he is a young man, very beautiful, very powerful, expert, skillful in archery, etc., etc. That is not what the tracing of the origin that is done in this sixth section. What it wants to say, nama means general sound. Rupa means general form. Karma also means the expression of prana. Karma means prana. How does the sixth section arrive at this beautiful analysis? So, that is what we have to understand. What is the symbolism? How do we understand? Let us say, take the example of sound. You know, sound means every name is nothing but sound. I say Rama, that's sound. I say you, that is a sound. I say dog, that is a sound. So, every nama, every name is nothing but sound. But this sound is the general, like clay. And this sound, it doesn't have specific form. It doesn't have specific name. It doesn't have specific prayojana or utility. And that is called Shabda Brahma, Rupa Brahma, Karma Brahma. So let us analyze it. That's briefly, then a little bit more in detail. So just imagine that there is a huge block of marble. What is it? Marble. That's all. But the moment a sculptor looks at it and then he carves That means what is carving? The figure of, let us say, Krishna. What does he do? He separates the form of Krishna from that block of marble. So what does he do? He chips away what is non-Krishna. What remains is Krishna. Another character, he chips away and he calls it Jesus. Michelangelo, he was such an expert sculptor. He has chipped away in such a marvelous way. Oh, it is indescribable. Those who appreciate, they know what I am talking about. Similarly, painters do that. So what do? They cover up a white piece of canvas and cover it up. Remove the canvas portion and superimpose upon it a particular figure or figures. It could be a man. Even a man is not one particular figure. Hundreds of parts. This is a hand, that is a leg, that is a eye, that is the tuft of the hair, etc., etc. So what are we talking about? Shabda Brahma. Shabda is like clay. And any name can be brought out of Shabda. And all the Shabda from our marvelous study of Omkara. Omkara is called Shabda. And that Omkara doesn't have any specific object. Omkara is not a specific object. It is called Sarvanama. It is a pronoun. Omkara can stand for Rama, for Krishna, for Kali, for Jesus, for Buddha, for every blessed thing in this world. So, if you understand what I am talking about, so that general material from which Nama is derived, that is called Shabda. And that Shabda can be sculpted. So, you want to call it. That is what Sri Ramakrishna, in his own beautiful way, is trying. There is a body of water. Some people call it Pani. Some people call it water. Some people call it Jala. Some people call it Aqua. You can have any name you want. Because there are other languages. Every language has its own specific sculpting of the Shabda, but meaning the same object. So this is the idea this sixth section wants to convey to us, that when you are looking at anything in this world, first you say, oh, this is my friend. His name is, for example, Rama. This is a saint. He is called Ramakrishna. That word Ramakrishna is derived from that block of unspecified sound, and the same block of sound can be used to bring out infinite number of names according to infinite number of objects. I hope I am conveying the idea Shabda Brahma. But as I said, first Rupa Brahma, form. So the same huge block of marble, there are sculptures. There are more than 10,000 objects carved. Small leaves, flowers, trees, lakes, birds, human beings, and wavy waters. Everything is there in that sculpture. But that is the greatness of the sculptor. But what is the general foundation? That block of stone. Call it marble, call it granite, call it black stone, by whatever blessed name you want. So when it is in the state of unformed, that is called what we call Rupa Brahma. But when from the same something is carved, take everyday example, you take some dough and make it one form, you call it bread. Make it another form, you call it chapati. Make it another form, you call it cake. You can have, according to the capacity of your imagination, any number of names, any number of forms. Every form must be given a particular name to separate it. Even when somebody is burning some chapatis, even then we can specify and say, that first chapati is burnt too much, but that which is less burnt, you bring and serve it to me. So like that, every form has a, what is called unmanifest, unspecified form, and that is called Rupa Brahma. Every name has got an unspecified sound. That is called Nama Brahma. What about karma then? Yes, karma means action. Action means the manifestation of prana. That is why prana is the block. Out of that prana, prana means energy. Energy. That is why prana Brahma. Unspecified, unmanifest as action, prana is called prana Brahma. So from that prana Brahma, as soon as a form comes, as soon as the name comes, immediately it has to react. And that reaction, which is continuously going on in this world, that is called the world. The whole world is nothing but prana, rupa, nama. But all the three, prana, that is unmanifest energy, rupa, unformed material, nama, unspecified sound, all these three are nothing but manifestation of Brahman. So if you analyze, take for example, here is Ramakrishna. What is Ramakrishna? The form that we see is Ramakrishna. The name which distinguishes this particular form from every other form in this world. Even if Ramakrishna had 300 brothers, so every brother can be separated. He had three brothers, so he is not Ram Kumar. He is not Rameshwar. He is only Ramakrishna, not to speak of other people. So that form, which we named as Ramakrishna, what is it? Nothing but a bundle of energy. That energy filled his sthula sharira, sukshma sharira, karana sharira. So let us say mind and body. So the body, the mind is full of purpose. I'm hungry, I want to eat. So that when it is manifested, he seeks for food, he eats. That is an action of prana. So that unmanifest prana. Then he thinks, I want to dedicate my life only to God. That is what we call spiritual life. That is also called sannyasa. Even though you might not have heard about this, if you are devoting 10 minutes of your everyday life to think of God, you are leading 10% spiritual life. Because God means spirituality. If you are thinking 1 hour, you are leading 1 hour spiritual life. I'm talking about sincere thinking about God. If you are thinking 10 hours, 12 hours, then to that extent your spirituality is 12 hours spirituality. And rest of the time, if you are thinking of worldly things unrelated to God, that is called worldly life. But if you are leading the same rest of the hours as a preparation for these 12 hours of your thinking of God, then that is also part of your spiritual life only. It should be like that, whatever we do. That's why asnan, gachan, swapan, shasan, nimishan, unmishan. In Bhagavad Gita we get breathing in, breathing out. You are closing the eyelids, opening the eyelids. You are breathing in, breathing out. Whatever this body does, what should be done? Brahmanyadhaya karmani, sangantyakva karotiyaha, lipyate nasapapena, padmapatram iva ambhasa. So everything I am not doing. In fact, I am not doing. It is not my thinking that makes me think I am not doing. Really, it is God only in the form of prana brahma, in the form of rupa brahma, in the form of nama brahma. He is doing everything. I am not doing anything. So that is the idea that this sixth section wants to convey. But for the form, this sixth section uses a word, chakshu. Chakshu means eye. But as I said, whatever is done. This Chakshu means what? That unspecified, original form, Rupa, Rupa Brahma, that is called Chakshu. Nama Brahma, that is unspecified Brahman in the form of unmanifest sound, that is called Nama. Karma, Prana, that which is not functioning in any particular way. If we can analyze the whole universe in the marvelous psychological light thrown by the sixth section, we can understand what is the marvelous thing about this sixth section. The whole universe is nothing but Rupa, Nama and Karma. Form, name, action, prana. That's all. So what is the great lesson? That at the end of this section, the Upanishad says that while Nama, form and action seem separate, they are actually unified. The ultimate essence behind all the three is prana. And that prana is called Hiranyagarbha. That Hiranyagarbha is another name for Ishvara or Brahma. What's our problem? The Upanishad beautifully points out this body-mind complex or body complex, physical body is called Amrita. Satya. It is called Satya. Satyena, Amrutam Satyena Channam. Satya because whatever we are experiencing, that is the truth. For us, it is my truth. For you, it is your truth. What your body is doing, that is called Satya. This truth, everything is Brahman, is covered by this Satyena Channam. Here Satya means, we should not understand it, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Here Satya means our understanding that I am the body is the root cause of all problems. And as we are situated now, we are all convinced I am nothing but the body, Annam, Annamaya Kosha. And that is called Satya. This Satya is covered, this covers up the truth. Now for the mind, Upanishad gives another word, Amrita, immortal. By Amrita, the Upanishad here is telling us what is called Sukshma Karana Shariras. So by Satyam, gross body. By subtle and causal body, they are called Amrita. Why is called Amrita? Because even when this body falls off, this mind will never fall off. In the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we have seen that when the Jivatma departs, Manashashtani Indriyani Karshati, it takes along with that all the four koshas, Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha, and Anandamaya Kosha. Is it immortal? Is it deathless? What is deathless? Amrita, even the subtle body, and causal body, they are not truly immortal. But in a relative sense, they are immortal. Because when a person attains knowledge of the Atman or Brahman, even this will be totally destroyed. This Amrutatva, like the immortality of the gods, it is only for a longer period of time. That is why if you remember Atyantika Pralaya, when the final Pralaya, which is called dawn of the Brahman knowledge. With that, not only the body will go away, but even the mind consisting of subtle body, causal body, that also will go away. That means all the three bodies, gross, subtle and causal, all the three experiences, the waking, the dream and the dreamless, everything will go away. But the Upanishad wants to tell us, when we feel the pain of this body, prana, departing from the body becomes formless, nameless, actionless. Therefore, for us, we think that is the Satyam. But this Amrita, that if we can somehow separate our identity from the body-mind and shift it to the mind, what is it to me? I am the
Sokshma Sharira and Karan Sharira, I attain instantaneously Amrutatva. Tremendous meaning is hidden in this statement just now I made. That means what? If the body is suffering from youth, people think youth is not suffering. Old age is suffering, disease is suffering, death is suffering, but childhood is not suffering, youth is not. How little our knowledge, our intellect really works. Every child, baby, maybe an ant has bitten him, a mosquito has bitten him, a child doesn't know what has bitten him, but it feels the pain intensely. Remember, when a mosquito or an ant bites you and me, we don't feel so much. But when the same bites a small baby, 3 months old, 2 months old, 6 months old, it cannot even tell something has bitten me. You just imagine that agony. And it has sometimes stomach upset, gas comes out, and accepting weeping, indicating that something is wrong. The mother, the doctor, they have to guess what is the problem with the child. No animal can express what is troubling it. See, then what about youth? How many disappointments? I am attracted to that person, but I am not getting. That person is attracted by somebody else. So I lose. I wanted that job. I don't get it. I wanted that subject, but I don't get it for whatever reason. And do you think youth is free from suffering? No. Youth has a tremendous manifestation of the optimum energy level, health level. It can really work hard, enjoy also hard, but it doesn't mean it is automatically happy. It is one thing to have the capacity. It is another thing to think that a person is happy. Happiness, unhappiness, these come from a different source. That comes from the understanding. So therefore, youth, if anybody thinks youth is a happy time of the life, terribly mistaken. So every age has its own problems. And it has both positive and negative ideas. So, but what is important is, Amrutam Satyena Channam. Satya means what? What we think Satya. That is, I am the body complex. I am my possessions. And I am this body. So this is called I and mine. This alone is the truth. This world, when we say this world is the truth, we actually mean the body and the possessions, nothing else. And that is our truth. We are living in that truth. We should not kid ourselves. We are free from that truth. But this satya, this identity with this body complex is covering up something, a tremendous sense of immortality that is called amrita. As I just now said, this body lasts only for a short time. But this sukshma and karana shariras last for until we obtain liberation for very, very long time. Therefore, it is this identity from the body is the toughest. So we have to get out of this veil which covers the truth. Supposing somebody succeeds in it and then he succeeds to identify. Actually, that is called practice of sthita prajna lakshanas. Okay. I don't have so much money, but I am getting sufficient food. I have a simple small house which serves my purpose. I have simple dress that is sufficient. So my needs are few. And this understanding belongs to the mind. When this understanding called knowledge is reality to us, we make it this reality, not thinking, oh, I wish I had this, I had that. No. I am quite happy with what I have. Such a person really enjoys that amrutatva given by that attitude. This is called spiritual attitude. That is what the Upanishad wants to point out. In comparison with this body, the other four koshas are extraordinarily long-lasting. In fact, they disappear only when we get true knowledge of our own selves. So, Amrutam Satyena Channam. So, what we need to understand now is why we are so much obsessed with this identity, with this body. So, the whole thing is beautifully explained again in the Taittiriya Upanishad, how we can slowly develop our spirituality by making Annam is Brahman. What do we mean by Annam is Brahman? That the what we see, this physical external universe identified as the body, physical body, because if I am identified with my physical body, I see only the world Brahman as physical universe, and that is called Annam. If I can slowly convert it, the thought comes, deeper thought. What is this Annam Brahma? It is nothing but forms, names, and prana. Nothing but. What are all these three? Nothing but Ishvara, Brahman, Saguna Brahma. So, if we can convince ourselves, but the same Saguna Brahma has other aspects. It is also prana. It is also manaha. It is also vijnanaha. It is also anandam. So our journey must start with this. So the first journey is summarized in this sixth section. You look with the discerning eye, discriminating eye, and then you will notice the whole thing is nothing but consisting of form, name, and function. Before I close, again I want to repeat. You see this person. What is he? He is Ramakrishna. You see that form. Forever photograph and to think about him. What is his name? Ramakrishna. What is the name of that particular form? Ramakrishna, distinguishable from everybody else. And what is he? Nothing but prana. What is this prana? His prana is manifesting in the form of the entire physical body. His eyes, his five sense organs, five senses of action and mind. So we see that one. And he has a purpose. The prana activates his mind. The prana also activates the physical body. So the whole, what we call Ramakrishna, is nothing but prana plus rupa plus nama. That is our first understanding. Because of prana, it is the prana which activates the mind. And that mind can be at the annamaya kosha level, pranamaya kosha level, manomaya kosha level, vijnanamaya kosha level, anandamaya kosha level. Gradually, that is what Sri Ramakrishna said. He clearly said that I saw how my kundalini shakti. Gradually, what is kundalini? A combination of these three. Prana, Rupa and Nama, slowly rising above the Annamaya Kosha, represented by three chakras, Mooladhara, Swadhisthana, Manipura. It went to the Anahata and I saw everything is full of light. What is this? What is this? Then he went up, then he saw in the form of dim knowledge, then brighter knowledge, finally complete knowledge. So this is how we have, you look at any person. It is nothing but this is the form, this is the name and the prana. Just for our understanding, I want to add the word prana means character. So when you are looking at any object, you are looking at the rupa and nama and judging the character. This is unripe mango. This is a ripe mango. This is a sweet mango. This is not such a sweet mango. Every object that we experience, we are dividing it into these three. Form, name, and annam. Tomorrow, we will talk the specifics and if possible, give the essence of the first chapter. I will try. Om Jananim Shardam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.